if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we'll talk about post-marketing surveillance, but not post-marketing surveillance on, if I can say, the side of manufacturer, but more about the side maybe of an auditor, if I can say. So we have here Steve Curran from Trinzo. So Steve, welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Thanks very much, Mounir. So I'm Dr. Steve Curran. I'm working currently with Trinzo, a consultancy in quality and regulatory affairs. I've got over 20 years experience in the medical device field, both as a leader and developer of medical devices, but as Mounir has indicated, quite a number of years working as a lead auditor for a notified body in the EU. So I've worked in a variety of areas, including orthopedics, the dental arena, general medical devices, and also combination devices that incorporate medicines and biologics. And I'm glad to be here, Mounir, to discuss PMS with you today.
Great. Yeah, as I said, the idea is to help the auditors that are listening to that to say what an auditor wants to see, what I should show to him, what can be maybe some of the issues that you as an auditor see always, and then helping people that, to correct that. But before to move to this kind of part, so maybe we have some people that still have no clue what is a post-marketing surveillance. So can we have a small summary and exactly what is a post-marketing surveillance, specifically on MDR, but also maybe the difference MDR, MDD?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, post-market surveillance, PMS, I suppose can really be defined as a kind of structured process that is really all about monitoring the safety and performance of a medical device. Most importantly, after it's been released, of course, onto the market. So it involves a number of elements to collect post-market surveillance data, okay, on your device. And it's all about the clinical data and the safety of the device. So what's expected is that the manufacturer, once they place that device on the market, they go out there proactively and try and assess that device, most importantly around its intended use and is it performing as it's intended to. Of course, clinically, providing that benefit to the patient, but also, in terms of, the safety of the device, I suppose, is the way to look at it. So they have to go out there and collect this proactive data, but also assess reactive data that comes in. So vigilance in the field, complaints around the device, they need to assess that and see, does that impact at all on this benefit risk profile for the device? So it's all about manufacturers getting this clinical experience of their device once it's placed onto the market. Effective post-market surveillance, really, I suppose, is a combination of processes, and they work together, to bring together that understanding of the safety and performance of the device once it's in real world use, if you like, after it's been released.
Exactly. This was already existing under MDD. Under right. MDR, we have that also with a higher level, if I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, PMS has always been there. It was always been there under the MDD that was around. It's been around for 30 years. But the MDR now builds upon that a lot more in terms of PMS systems and their requirements compared to MDD. So all devices need to have post-market surveillance activities happening for them. And I suppose that with MDR, the key, reference article is Article 83 in the MDR. That's really the key one around PMS. And basically, it's saying that, PMS systems need to be used to update that benefit risk profile I talked about for the device. through the data that contributes to that, that's been pulled from the field. And it's all about the frequency that activity is conducted on. It also points to that data being used to feed into your, into the risk management processes that a manufacturer has in place. And that might then lead into updating device design. It might lead to changes in instructions for use, for example. But ultimately, again, it's constant and continuous improvement in the risk profile, basically to maintain that the clinical use and the safety profile remains the same and nothing untoward is starting to be introduced. And again, all of that data and what falls out of risk and all these other things is fed into various elements in the technical documentation. So I talked about risk, but it also leads into things like the clinical evaluation report, that's all part of the technical documentation.
Yeah, and here when we talk about medical devices that need to go for PMS, so we talk about all medical devices, even IVDR, MDR, everything should go through a post-market surveillance. Whatever classes, high class, low class, low risk class, high risk class, everybody should be doing that.
Absolutely. It covers all devices. And of course, the higher the risk profile of the device, so if we're talking about class threes and implantable devices, then clearly there needs to be a lot more activity and a lot more data collected around this. And we can talk about, the types of documentation that leads into. But for the lot, it has to be done for all classes of devices. As you go down to the very low class classes of devices, the class one devices, the very simple devices that have a long history of being on the market and are known to have a very safe clinical profile, then the level of activity can, proportionately reduce. But it still has to happen. It still has to be conducted.
In terms of your experience also as an auditor and had to do this kind of work in terms of post-marketing surveillance. So do you have like a top three, top five, if I can say, issues that you always see about issues about post-marketing surveillance when you go to some companies as an auditor, or even as working with them as a consultant?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you often find that companies, smaller companies, and companies that work sometimes with the lower classification devices, maybe the class 2A devices in the EU, sometimes there's a misconception that PMS is sometimes all about just customer satisfaction, and the collection of data is not focused on the intended use, on the clinical benefits, on the safety. It's often about it's more of a customer satisfaction thing. Is the device being delivered on time? And, are there no issues with packaging? And are you happy with your sales guys? And sometimes the feedback is based around that. And there's more emphasis on that, shall we say, than on what it's really all about. And that's the clinical performance, clinical safety. So that's one of the first things that comes out is the actual data itself.
So if you see this kind of issue within the manufacturer as an auditor, does it raise a non-conformity here, or it's just improvement, or what do you say to them?
Once it builds together, it's all about having sufficient proactive, good post-market surveillance that obviously needs to feed back into the risk management process and maybe back into the design process itself. So if there's no data available that can be usefully used to follow through that process, then it would raise a non-conformity. I mean, a lot of these things, are heavily linked together. So we can go back again beyond the data coming in to look at the actual PMS plan, and is that structured correctly? Again, we said PMS is all about ensuring this benefit risk profile. Is that PMS plan structured correctly so that the data, firstly, as I've just mentioned, the correct data is being collected. Once it's collected, is that being analyzed properly? And then after the analysis, the output of that data, is that being fed back into the overall, the overall process, that all these other processes that feed in from, say, the MDR. So it's a structural thing.
You have to look at the plan first and see if it's working. And then if the plan is wrong, the report will be wrong anyway. So it's not like...
Exactly. If the foundations are wrong, then everything will collapse.
Exactly.
if that makes sense. Yeah.
Anything else?
I think generally it's a case of often the people that do the analysis and the team that does the analysis sometimes don't have the right skill set to do this.
Okay.
Sometimes, again, they're not aware of the appropriate standards or guidance that is out there to use to lead them correctly and structure some of these things. So you sometimes don't see reference to any of those kind of guidance documents, those standards. So it's not clear what process is being followed. Often, as I say, the team that's structured to do the analysis are not properly qualified or not fully trained properly in doing these kinds of things. And so, again, that's where the issues start to come in. So,
in terms of qualification, is just a training to a procedure fine, or you want to see more like a training on the UMDR, or what exactly you
yeah, often I mean, as part of the whole process, once it's particularly the analysis side, I suppose, of the data, and more importantly how that feeds into, because ultimately the data is got to be used from PMS. That's what it's all about, is bringing that data in as an input into your risk management process. And often what you might find is that, as part of that team that works on using that data in the risk management process to estimate this overall risk benefit I talked about, that team might be small and maybe they don't have a clinical expertise. They might not have engineering expertise. They might not have the quality functions or regulatory functions, much as you pointed to there. So there's no link between, say, the QMS, the MDR, and the PMS data that's coming together. And that all needs to be there as the foundations, like we talked about, to usefully use this data that comes in to generate the right kind of output that makes sense, if you like, and that can be, if you like, validated in terms of an overall benefit risk profile. So yeah, that's one of the fundamental things, yeah, that sometimes is missing.
In terms of before, when you discussed about the first issue where you said you have receiving some feedback that were more commercial, if I can say, than others.
Yeah.
So what would you expect to see on this kind of feedback? Because I have sometimes some customers that send those kind of marketing feedback, as you are asking, just to say, oh, is the color fine? Is the transport okay, etc., etc. But what would be the right question to ask to a customer related to the product? So is it like more, is my product complying with the intended purpose? I mean, you have also to use some kind of wording that they understand, because we are regulatory, so they maybe don't understand all what we are talking about. So what would you expect to see there?
So again, you come back to the intended use of your device, okay? So, the manufacturer knows what the intended use is. And when they develop and, design and develop the device, they're always looking to meet this clinical need or unmet clinical need. Now, it needs to be, as we say, sort of clinically focused, intended use focused. So when the product is first being developed, the team would go through this, the risk management team, I guess, will go through and identify what are the possible risks around the device in terms of the safety of the device, in terms of how the device should perform. There might be things where these are key things which may introduce problems. And so as part of that whole initial process, the manufacturer will try to will minimize those as low as they can possibly be. But like with everything, nothing is completely risk-free, so some risks are still there. And so the whole purpose of this then is, once the device goes on the market, there's an expectation that these issues won't arise. But in the back of the minds of the manufacturer, they'll know that there are several potential residual risks, if you like, that might still remain. And so what they want to do is generate questions, surveys, customer focus groups, maybe with surgeons who use the devices. It might be patients who are receiving the devices. It could be nurses. It could be other healthcare professionals, other end users. Is generating questions to them that try to answer these key risks that they think might be out there. Okay. So let's pick something randomly, like a hip stem, for example. You know, it might have been designed, the whole point is it supports load, but if it fractures or snaps, of course, that's a serious issue. So there might be questions generated around, you know, the frequency of failure of that. Or it could be that, you know, in say a hip, there's articulation, it needs to articulate very smoothly when it's been implanted. Are there issues around, you know, impingement or pain to the patient, and what is the level of pain, and how long or how often is it, has it started to occur? There's all questions, but they're all geared around how the device is performing and what's the patient's experience from receiving that device. And then if the feedback is negative, you know, it needs to be looked at, analyzed, trended maybe, and that might then feed back to say, okay, we've got a problem with the design. You know, we're getting more impingement and pain than we expected. We need to look to do a redesign and then go back through the process. So, and hopefully that will lead to improvements for the patient population that are receiving the device. So it's this cyclic process that's constantly assessed and analyzed.
Hey, just a second. Do you need an EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com.
So this is a logical process. Now I hear in the other side, the marketing department that says, no, don't ask those questions, because then to raise some awareness that we can have those issues, or can we avoid negative things? Can we try to make it like positive, etc.? So have you had this experience also? Or?
That's another problem you've highlighted quite well, Minier, is that the important thing is the feedback that comes in. You look at the negative and the positive. There might be positive things that actually we've went through it, we thought it, you know, that there might be these issues. In fact, there's absolutely none. In fact, it's performing better than we thought. Fantastic, great. We can, you know, we can sing from the rooftops. Our device is fantastic if it's positive. But you need to take it all, particularly the negative. If there is negative, you need to act on it. You need to work on it. And that's what's being pushed harder in the MDR and the current regulatory landscape, is that you really need to focus and take account of finding the negatives, you know, and not just the positives. So as an auditor, again, if you were looking through and all you're seeing is lots and lots of positive, it raises questions that, again, particularly, are you working hard enough to make sure there are no negatives out there?
And as said, if a notified body is looking at your survey, even if you have get some feedback, if those questions that are not targeted to through clinical or through really the intended purpose of the device, they will not be really agreeing with what you are providing. But in terms of MDD, MDR, one of the big change was also about being proactive. Under MDD, it was more about being reactive, waiting that you receive a complaint or receive things. As I'm saying, you just sit on your chair and waiting, when proactive is more like you have to go on the market, you have to ask those questions, create those surveys, make an investigational study, etc. So does this raise also some issues from manufacturers that we are not used to do that, and now they have to scratch their head and say, how should I do that?
Absolutely. That's where, again, the planning comes in. It's all about being proactive now. And, you know, that can be done through, as we've said, you know, going out, you speak to end users, the surgeons, physicians, nurses, maybe it's patient groups, you know, who actually experience the device themselves. It's finding all these techniques and tactics to get as much information as you can, but doing it, like you said, Mania, in a proactive sense. Now, that in itself is a challenge, because with MDR, all manufacturers have to do this. Yep. And so the guys at the other side, the surgeons, the patients, etc., are being bombarded by manufacturers who are saying, I need feedback from you. And, you know, it's that in itself is a challenge to actually engage and get that feedback back into the company. It's a really difficult thing. And of course, now there's, you know, the first port of call is to actually conduct clinical investigations on your device. And then absolutely, you've got to do post-market clinical follow-up studies on your device. So actually setting up, if you like, clinical trials of the device once it's out there, and collecting in a formal way clinical data. So it's hard as well to engage surgeons and investigators into those studies as well. All of this I'm saying now, particularly since COVID as well, because now, you know, within the healthcare system, it's absolutely crowded and packed, and everybody's so busy that, you know, making time to actually address these things is really, really challenging. So for all manufacturers, that in itself is a challenge, just to actually, you might be with all the will in the world want to be doing this proactive stuff, but actually getting it over the line is a real hard task now.
I think at that moment, after also due to COVID, maybe we saw also a lot of companies that are raising some applications to make this communication between the surgeons and the or manufacturers, also to gather data, to do all those things because of all that also. So we start to have some digitalization also in this area to collect the information.
Right, exactly. I mean, now where it would be, you know, filling documented forms or whatever, that, you know, people are starting to switch maybe onto apps on phones where the sales forces speak to the guys and just, you know, do it more in a more digital way. Absolutely. Finding ways to make it easier as well to get this information is certainly at the forefront of everybody's mind at the moment.
So another question is about the frequency to do this post-marketing survey. So is this something that you do once and you stop, or you have to do it every month, or you have to do it? What's the rule?
It's for the life cycle of the device. So, you know, it's a continuous thing. It's part of your QMS system. So all your documentation, it's always live. It's always continuous. I mean, really, you should be doing this activity as much as you possibly can. I mean, you need to write up and document your reports for class 3 devices, for implantable devices, the high risk stuff. You've got to, you know, got to document and review at least annually. For other devices, every 2 years. For the class 1 low risk devices, you know, you just need to document and have that PMS report done. But, you know, if it's got a very, very, very low risk profile, very simple, been out there with a long clinical history, you know, you can update it maybe even up to about 5 years, but it needs to be there. It won't be looked at by an notified body, class 1 devices, but, you know, competent authorities might want to see it from time to time. For the as you move to the other end of the scale, though, for the class 3s, yeah, absolutely, it needs to be done. You know, as I say, you need to do it annually and collect that data through that year, if you like. But it needs to be looked at in particular if there's any vigilance issues, you know, if any field safety notices or field safety corrective actions, or dare I say it, recalls are required, then immediately action needs to be taken, and that risk review, all that data fed immediately into risk review and action taken. Yeah.
And this is important. What you are saying is that you collect those data, but it's not like you just collect, you put them in a report and then you let that sleep, if I can say. You have to take action out of it. Is there any action that you have to do? As I said, updating a risk management, updating again a clinical evaluation, updating some other document that are linked to that. So it's really a document that is here to just say, is there a problem or no problem? If there is a problem or there is anything that you have to act on it, you just not sleep on it and say, I have done my post-marketing surveillance, I'm fine, it's okay. No, is there any output out of it there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, under the MDR now, you've got to write a periodic safety update report that needs to be put into your technical documentation, like I said, at least annually, and that will be reviewed very carefully by the notified bodies now. Again, if something comes out of vigilance, you know, it might be reportable events, so you've got to report it into your competent authorities within all of the markets that you might place your device on under MDR in the EU. You need to report into those competent authorities, and that are defined timescales for reporting on, depending on the seriousness of the situation. When all of this comes out, like I said before, you've got to go back and as a team, review your risk assessment, and then it may lead to other actions being taken, like redesign a device and other things. All of this needs to be documented. All of it needs to be justified with good rationale, and all of this documentation that where all of this falls into has to be updated. And again, like I say, for the higher risk devices, it will be reviewed, you know, or when the notified bodies come round to do the review, they'll need to see that it has been done annually, and that's all fully documented and approved.
So in terms of also how to do that, so the best practices to do the post-marketing surveillance. So we have now the UMDR, which says some elements. So is there a guidance or is there some standards that maybe they have to, as you said at the moment, they are not writing maybe the right, how they are executing that, which standards, which guidance. So do we have like some guidances that can help or some standards?
Yeah, absolutely. There's ISO 20416:2020 that's post-market surveillance for medical devices. We've got MDCG guidance where there's guidance not just on PMS but on lots of other things that are supportive for manufacturers, you know, building technical files and under the MDR. Of course, there's the MDR itself, Article 83, and several other elements within the MDR that point to PMS. Like I said before, it's all MDR and is linked to the QMS now, so ISO 13485 for QMS. And then, of course, I talked as well about PMS that feeds into your risk management process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ISO 14971 is the standard for risk management, and there's a companion document to that, which is TR24971.
Yeah.
So those two guys go together. So one's a guidance to the standard and gives good examples. And then finally, there's, you know, the old MedDev vigilance document, MedDev 212.1 Rev 8, but that's back from 2013, so it's quite old. But still, it's a good reference point for issues around vigilance and working with your PMS and PMCF data. Yeah, so there's plenty of information out there that can be supportive and help you through this.
Yeah. I had also some people that are selling their products in different regions in the world.
Right.
Do you think that the post-marketing surveillance that we are doing here in Europe first can be exported to the US or to other regions, or it's really exclusive for Europe and the US or the other regions have different rules?
I mean, I think if in these different markets, the device is being used the same, it's got exactly the same intended use, the device itself in terms of its packaging materials and all these other things that go around it is all the same, then, you know, the clinical experience of that device, the data from that can be used across. It might be there are caveats to that. So it might be used in a slightly different way in different markets, or the design might be slightly different. In which case that needs to be taken into account when you're using it in a different market. So, I mean, an example I might use is something like around a hip stem in the Asian population versus the Western population, the actual patient the patient population, the demographics or the anatomy is somewhat different. You know, the Asian population tend to be slighter than the Western population. So there might be subtle differences in the design there. So data you collect from maybe that demographic might not fully fit into the other demographic. So that's for the manufacturer to understand some of these nuances and take that into account as to whether that data can actually be usefully used in the context of clinical safety and performance. But generally speaking, if those things are taken account of, then any clinical experience, if the device is the same and the intended use is the same, you know, that data can be taken account of. And, you know, if it's from different markets, then, of course, that needs to be explained and documented. But that's
exactly,
the case.
Yeah. No, I think it's important here because we have also some manufacturer that collects data in a certain region, and this is maybe not compatible to where we are trying to sell now. So then at the end, it's like, I mean, the point is more about will the notified body point out about this issue, or will they say, oh, you have a PMS, it's fine? They will not really look specifically about this population and everything. So many, this is the point here.
Yeah, they'll certainly, like I explained there with that example, that, you know, the auditors that will look at it from the notified body will be experts in that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll be experts in orthopedics and understand those devices very well. They'll obviously take account of looking at all the documentation that a manufacturer has. So that's the point, that all of this has to be properly documented with proper rationales and proper justification and understanding of how this data is applicable to the market that it's, you know, the manufacturer seeking approval in.
Sure. Great. So I think we have covered all my questions.
Okay.
Now I just want to understand, you are part of Trinzo. So how can Trinzo help on this matter, maybe or other matters? So
Right,
what you can do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Trinzo is a consultancy, primarily in regulatory and quality. We have a wide range of expertise globally, and we offer solutions virtually, as as is common now, so virtual training. But we also do in-house, and we can also do bespoke, so tailor things to help whatever the needs of the manufacturer is. And so there's the Trinzo arm, and part of Trinzo is also MedDev Solutions, and they offer training in all of these various areas. So not just PMS, but really anything regulatory or quality-wise, from risk management to clinical, even to working with your suppliers. And PFAS is now a common theme that's coming to the fore, which we'll see a lot more of. So yeah, we have experts in all areas that can help in any way that you probably need. And what I'd recommend is that you visit the website trinzo.com, where you can find ways to contact us, and we will gladly discuss and look to help with any needs that you have.
No, sure. I will place all the details about Trinzo and the links and also the links from you, Steve, on the show notes. So don't hesitate to go there for people that are listening, and then contact directly Trinzo on the website, or even contact Steve if you have some questions about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
It's fine,
Okay,
yeah.
Steve, it was really a pleasure to have you. Thanks again for all the information about post-marketing surveillance. It was really helpful. I hope it helps also the community that is listening. And there, as I said, if people have questions, then we can or put comments on the video, and I will send that directly to Steve, or contact directly Steve on LinkedIn. Okay, Steve, so thank you very much, and I wish you a nice day.
Wonderful to speak with you, Maria. Have a nice day too.
Munir Alazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.